grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text, just read from the lectern, Paul talks about meeting conflict. With this theme in mind, let us consider, first of all, what this conflict is, and then how are we to meet this conflict? We are to meet this conflict with consistency and with courage. The conflict Paul discusses in these verses from Philippians is the struggle that exists between the true Christian church and those who are opposed to the church, those who deny the truth of the gospel, who want to overwhelm the gospel with their lies, who want to prevent the gospel from being proclaimed and spread. Paul, as we all know, experienced such opponents and such opposition throughout his ministry as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In our text, Paul refers to the conflict which, he tells the Philippians, you saw in me and now here is in me. These Philippian Christians previously had seen Paul and his companion Silas, missionaries for Christ, dragged before the magistrates of Philippi, falsely accused, stripped, beaten, and thrown in prison. When Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, he is again in prison, probably either in Ephesus or in Rome, and the Philippians have heard about this imprisonment. Paul is in prison because of opponents who want to prevent him from preaching the gospel, who want to stop his missionary activity. The apostle knows about conflict. In our text, Paul says that the Philippians are going through the same conflict or struggle. They too, because of their Christian faith and because of their work for Christ, are experiencing similar opposition such as Paul had to suffer. Who these opponents were and what form their opposition took are uncertain. Perhaps they were Jews who were opposed to the spreading of the gospel, or pagan Gentile enemies, or both. Whatever, this opposition was serious. These Philippian Christians were facing aggressive adversaries, causing them to suffer because of their advancing the gospel of Christ. Brothers, as ministers or future ministers of the gospel, we can expect opposition from and conflict with the unbelieving world. If Christ had to go through this kind of conflict and suffering and opposition, and the Apostle Paul and the Philippian Christians and other Christians who promoted the gospel throughout the centuries, we cannot consider ourselves exceptions to this rule. We may not experience the exact same type of opposition and suffering that Paul and the Philippians experienced. The conflict and suffering we go through may take different forms in our day. They may be more subtle, but they will be real and serious. How are we to meet this conflict? In our text, Paul tells the Philippian Christians, and he tells us, to meet this conflict with consistency. We are to face the enemies of Christ united. Our text says, with one spirit, with one mind. We are to have the same confession and outlook and attitude and goals based on the Word of God and derived from the whole testimony of God's Word. Paul encourages his Christian readers that, united, they are to stand fast or to stand firm in their opposition to enemies of the church, like soldiers at battle stations who refuse to retreat no matter how hard the struggle gets. We are not to be wishy-washy in our doctrine, in what we preach and teach, vacillating because of forces external to the church, giving in to pressure from the world, compromising the word, backing off from certain aspects of our doctrine. Rather, we are to be consistent in what we stand for and what we proclaim. This means remaining true to all of God's word. Paul also encourages his Christian readers to strive together for the faith of the gospel like a team of athletes in an athletic contest. United, we are not only to stand firm, but always be contending for the gospel, for the truth, for the Christian faith. This means taking the defense, defending what we believe against the lies and slanders of opponents, against false teachers. This means taking the offense, advancing the gospel with positive preaching and teaching. Paul himself is a great example of such consistency. When confronting the Judaizers, he did not back away one inch from the gospel, but stood firmly on God's word in opposition to these false teachers. Threatened by his enemies and standing before councils, before a hostile crowd, before a group of magistrates and officials, or before philosophers, Paul spoke always basically the same message. He talked about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Today, as we go through this liturgy, we are reminded that Martin Luther took his stand firmly on God's word in opposition to the religious and political forces of his day who wanted to silence the truth of the gospel. Led by God's grace and empowered by God, let us follow in the footsteps of these examples and other Christians who promoted the gospel fearlessly. Let us imitate their consistency. Let us also, being united and standing firm and continually contending for the word, let us be used by the Lord, and God will bless our efforts. We will be, by God's grace, a powerful force in today's world against all opposition to the Christian church. In our text, Paul also tells the Philippians and us to meet this conflict with courage. He brings this point out in two ways. First, he encourages readers not to be frightened in any way by the adversaries. The Greek verb Paul uses, petoro, used in the passive, is found only here in the New Testament. It is used on occasion in classical Greek of timid horses being startled at some unexpected object. Diodorus Siculus used it when he wrote about the chariot horses of the Persian emperor Darius being frightened at the Battle of Issus, in which the Persians were defeated by the Greeks. When Paul writes, "Do not be frightened," he is saying, "Be courageous." The second way Paul brings this point out is by implication when he writes, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." The Greek verb here translated granted is charizo, which is related to the noun charis, grace. It is a gracious gift of God that we have been called not only to faith in Jesus Christ, but also to struggle and endure hardship on his behalf. We are to enter this conflict with a godly bravado, knowing that our suffering for Christ is a high privilege, a sign that God is looking upon us with favor. Christ tells us, when we are enduring persecution for his sake, that we are to rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We can meet this conflict with courage, of course, because of Jesus Christ, who overcame this sinful world and death and the devil. He paid for the sins of all people with his suffering and death on the cross. Then he arose from the dead, showing that he is indeed our victorious, triumphant Redeemer. Through faith in Jesus Christ, who arose from the dead, this faith which the Holy Spirit works in us, he created in us, and preserves in us through the gospel, we have forgiveness of all of our sins and everlasting life. With Christ, who strengthened us through his word and sacrament, we have the power to stand firm against enemies of the Christian faith, to keep on contending in this unbelieving world for the sake of Jesus Christ and his gospel. Christ enables us. He gives us the ability to meet this conflict with courage and to endure suffering and hardship, to remain faithful to the end. Paul is a great example of one who met conflict with courage. When he and Silas were thrown into prison in Philippi with their feet in stocks, they prayed to the Lord and sang hymns. Paul, once again a prisoner, when he writes this letter to the Philippians, says in this epistle, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I can do all things in union with Christ who strengthens me." This same Paul wrote to the Roman Christians and to us, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Brothers, let us enter this gospel ministry being brave and confident in Christ, knowing that he, the almighty ruler of the universe, will help us and bless our efforts, that he will grant victory to his church. Let us gladly endure suffering, believing that, as Paul writes in his last epistle, "If we endure, we shall also reign with Christ." Conflict with opponents of Christianity is a reality, especially for us who are or will be ministers of the gospel. May we, empowered by Christ, united with him, always meet this conflict with consistency and courage. God grant that each of us may look back at the end of our lives and say, as did the Apostle Paul, "By God's grace, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In Jesus' name, amen.